now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix. A lot of these people that have all these abilities, who have celestial star ancestry, they're operating not only throughout this cosmos, but in higher planes, and they're working against the Draco Empire. The photonic energy and the cosmic rays will activate our higher centers. And it's incumbent upon us to ride that frequency wave.
Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, my very special guest is George Kavassilis. George is an author, mentor, and public speaker. George has had a lifetime of strange and wonderful experiences beyond the ordinary. He encountered both benevolent and malevolent interdimensional and extraterrestrial beings. He then went through a process of reconciling the knowledge and wisdom gained and came to realize a natural responsibility to share such with our global community. As a result, George now embodies a limitless passion in answering life's primordial questions. Who are we? Where do we come from? And what are we doing here? All that George shares stems from direct experience. Some find his work challenging, yet for others it is incredibly liberating. On the path of the truth seeker, false beliefs are torn down, but in their stead, the naked truth rises in its simple beauty. The knowledge and wisdom George shares, along with his values and philosophy, have helped thousands of people the world over to feel, to be, and to live in a more peaceful, centered, and empowered state in a most natural way. George knows his life path carries a focus to expose all levels of deception, no matter how far they go, and a deep-seated responsibility to help liberate our humanity from all forms of imposing doctrine and dogma without exception. George's website is IamInfinite.love and is an expression of George's work that provides people with a supportive learning environment. As George says, it's really a remembering process to revitalize and resurrect the sovereign and infinite being you truly are. And we will have George's website on our Cosmic Switchboard website as well as on our dedicated YouTube channel. So without any further ado, George Kavassilis, how are you?
Hi, James. I'm sensational. Thanks, brother. Yeah, really grateful for having this opportunity to talk with you.
Well, the pleasure is all ours, and it was my great pleasure and my partner Kylie's great pleasure to meet you in the recent Byron Bay gig. What's interesting is, as fate would have it, next year at the next Close Encounters conference, you and I will both be speakers, so that'll be another shared experience, which we're both looking forward to at our end.
I'm super excited about that. It's going to be a powerhouse lineup. So, yeah, I've looked at some of the other speakers that are coming along. Oh, wow, it's going to be powerful. So, yeah, if anybody can get along, it'll be definitely worth it.
Yes, folks, it'll be at Coffs Harbour, which is kind of halfway between Brisbane in Queensland and Sydney in New South Wales down south. So it's a wonderful location. I've never been there, but I'm really looking forward to it. As I've been really looking forward to our interview, George, for the benefit of our listeners, could you tell us a bit, George, about how your awakening process began? For some of us, it was a gradual process. For some of us, it was a rather abrupt, jarring experience that forced us to wake up. Can you tell our listeners a bit about yourself and how you came to be the person and the being you are? Because I know for a fact that you've helped many people, and a lot of my friends were really excited about this interview we're doing now. So please, George, the floor is yours.
Thanks, James. And hi to everybody who's listening. Some of us have had, like James said, that gradual process, and others, it's been very intense over a short period of time, which totally rocks your world. And I had sort of like an up and down process throughout my whole life. It started for me for as long as I can remember. I've been interacting with these, what we would call extraterrestrial and interdimensional beings. And some of them were family. You can call them galactic family. Others you can call just universal family, interdimensional beings that are from dimensional realms so far beyond the grand cosmic arena. And then there was interactions with more unpleasant entities who were very concerned about people such as myself. I'm sure many people like you, James, and people listening, of our presence on the planet. And it had to do with wanting to curtail our progress, to apprehend it and subjugate it. So the challenges for me were from a very young age. It really hit pretty hard around 6 years old because I was just a A-grade student until actually they're more about 7 years old. I was full marks, top marks in my class and everything up until then. In everything I was doing, I was excelling at. And then I was abducted, and then after that, everything became difficult. Memory retention, mobility skills, everything started to suffer. And it's been a grind since then, really, to try and hold it together. And again, every time I would adapt myself to a sport, I would very quickly excel at it. When I did martial arts, I just smashed all the rankings so fast. And then I got hit with chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia really hard when that happened. There was success starting to happen. It'd be very quickly just smashed down. A force or an energy, or there would be implants, or I'd be injected with something to try and stop me from achieving what I wanted to achieve, my intended outcomes, which was very challenging as a child. I couldn't focus in school. I was going up in craft at night and having wonderful experiences with other children who were taken up into these craft, for example, and we'd be interacting with technologies there to do with consciousness and mind. Then we come back into school and the next day and I'm sitting in a science class and the teacher's teaching the most ridiculous, archaic notions about reality. It was really challenging. And then also just being in amongst a family gathering, for example, feeling everybody's intentions and thoughts as a little child was really difficult because, you know, there's people were very two-faced. They'd show a particular facade with their facial expressions and their body language. And then, you know, inside of them, there was something else, like an uncle lusting after a niece or something like that. Do you know what I'm trying to say? It was horrible as a child to be exposed to those sorts of emotional fields and mental fields of energy. It was challenging.
Having come from a place of infinite potential and infinite expression, to come into the density of our dimension and then find oneself in a situation where it almost seems to our young developing minds that everyone else seems to be playing in some kind of a role. I know in my case, and this actually is quite common for those in our field that are really doing the hard yards and doing their level best to expose this matrix simulation reality, we find ourselves at times surrounded by matrix sentinels, as we call them, people that are just there to knock you off course, people there to alter or change your destiny or knock you off track even for a short while. Did you find that to be the case? You mentioned some of the people you would see in your family circles that they weren't all they were cracked up to be, at least as far as their outward facade was concerned.
Oh, yeah. And you know what's really interesting, what I liked about the movie The Matrix was how when Neo would be walking down the street and then the average person on the street would recognize them, and then they would turn into Mr. Smith and Mr. Smith would chase them. So
yeah,
it's similar to that, not to that degree, but it's amazing when you'd be communicating with somebody and someone you've known for a while or a family member or whatever, and you would just see them change. And then the energy and the persona that would come at you and the things that would be said would be so mean and hurtful, and then they would switch back, and the person would be completely unaware of the way they've just behaved towards you. And so you'd see the possession happen, the message delivered, and then the possession, that energy, that entity leave that person, and then the person switch back to their natural state. Just fascinating, and I've been experiencing that throughout my life as well. And I've had a lot of people planted in my life. Like people who, there was a friend of mine who, you know, we were friends for 7 years. And then one night, because I was exposing so much in that area, it was at the front bar of a pub. I used to play competition eight ball in a pub in the Adelaide Hills. So he puts his forehead right up against mine, and he eyeball to eyeball, less than an inch away from each other, and he goes, "I'm here to stop you." Now, that's pretty daunting when it's a person that you've hung out with and been friends with for 7 years, that they would do that. And then the person standing next to him also, you know, I actually said to him, "Well, you can't." And he pulled his head back and he said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Look behind me." I said, do you understand what's behind me?" And he's looking around because he had that sight. And I said, "What's behind me is the overwhelming majority of life in the universe, you know, from the natural order." I said, "You can't stop me. It's not possible. You, whatever you think you can do, you can't do. And we're here to change this world, and we're going to do it, regardless of what you think you can do." And then he turned around and walked off because he could feel my energy. I call it Big George. When Big George steps in, there's nothing I can't do. And I've got plenty of stories to share about all those experiences. And then this other guy standing next to me just looked at me and goes, "Gee, you handled that really well." And he looked at me with a smirk on his face, and I went, "Not you too." And then he just turned around and walked away, and I never saw both of them again. So there's it's interesting how we've had people planted in our lives, and both of them had very strong connections to the Freemasons. It turned out that one of them was the son of the head of the Freemasonry in that big chapter, because I don't know if you understand about South Australia and Adelaide. I lived there for 20 years. When Queen Elizabeth came to the Southern Hemisphere for the first time in 25 years, her first port of call was Adelaide, South Australia, and all the leaders of the countries all flocked to that place, and they all had secret meetings. And all the meetings that have been taking place for global security happened in Adelaide, South Australia as well. So it's a very big power center. And also there's Grid Point 44, which is just northeast of Wilpena Pound in the Flinders Ranges, and I lived up near that way for 5 years. And that's one, it's considered one of the main balance points of the planet. There's five major areas where energetic lines, some people might call them ley lines, are kind of these different to your standard ley lines, but there's this grid. Bruce Cathy laid out this grid perfectly, and there's five major points on the planet of more ley or energetic lines intersecting than any other place on the planet. And these five major intersecting points, and one of them is in South Australia at Grid Point 44. I think three of them are in the oceans, and one of them is could be the Giza Plateau. I'm not sure. I can't remember. But, yeah, very interesting times.
Interesting how they would go to that place, the Queen would, to do whatever magical hoochie-coo they had in mind. What's interesting also is how at formative periods in our lives these matrix sentinels pop up, whether they're family members, extended family, people that become part of our association. I know in my case, at certain key points, junctions in my life, and this is not to be critical or judgmental to any of these people, because sometimes, and at times myself, we're unwittingly being moved around on a cosmic chessboard. We're not really aware of our true role or who we even really are. And people were put in my life because of, at the time, my low self-worth, which had been chipped away constantly by bullying and hectoring by narcissistic people in my family and my extended family. My self-worth was at such a nadir that I allowed others in my experience with a similar low sense of worth, self-worth, to come into my experience, and then I got plugged into their energy field. And at times, some of these people would take on a hectoring, bullying kind of persona, like you mentioned earlier. And I love the way you dealt with that situation, George, because you knew intuitively you weren't talking to the host. You were talking to whatever was behind those two erstwhile friends, and then, you know, you gave it energetic burst to Big George, and they went away. Well, at the time, when I was younger, in my formative years, I wasn't aware of the role of energy, and I would allow these people to be, you know, belittle me, besmirch me. In America, it was very common for people to call each other a dick. "Yeah, you're a dick," you know. Even people who you're supposed to be your friends would say, "Ah, you're being a dick," and they would just throw it out like confetti. And sometimes, you know, we didn't stand up to that. We didn't say, "Wait a minute, why are you calling me that? You're hurting my feelings," you know. We just kind of took it on board. And so the long and the short of it, George, was that for a long period of time, coincident to when I was starting to have another cycle of ET abduction experiences, my self-worth and the way I valued myself was like at the bottom of the ocean.
Same, because I totally agree that that is the systematic process they use. And I went through it as well, because with that fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue, there were times, and I was on the disability pension here in Australia for around 10 years, a bit more. So I lived below the poverty line here for that length of time. And it's been, you know, a big challenge to come out of that. And I don't know if people understand what fibromyalgia does to you, but it smashes every part of your being. You get your emotional body, your mental body, your physical body. You lose your sense of will to be able to function properly. It's devastating. And the pain in the muscle fibers and the pain in the joints as a result of the amount of lactic acid in the muscle fibers is agonizing. And then on top of that, I had the chronic fatigue. It was a time of hell in my life, if you want to call it that. And at the same time, I was getting abducted and I was getting raped and I was getting tortured at the same time on multiple occasions. So it was, you know, and I lost my family. My marriage broke up. I lost all my wealth. My health was gone. It was just rock bottom, you know. And it was a very interesting time. It was a challenging time, the most challenging time of my life. But I found something inside of me through that process. And, you know, got to the point where I was, say, in a craft and these beings were torturing me. I got to the point, because I had to try and work out how I was going to get out of this, because, like, I had an implant cut out of my side there on the side of my torso. And, of course, the doctor was trying to cut it in, you know, with a scalpel. He couldn't cut through it. And we sent it away, and it came back, you know, as a substance unknown, unrecognized. And I couldn't pursue it any further because they held on to it, and, you know, they just wouldn't talk to us anymore after that. And I was sitting on the lounge that night with stitches on the side in pain. And I thought, well, that was stupid because they could just pick me up and put another one in tonight. So that was the catalyst moment for me to go, there's got to be another way. We have to find a way as beings to be able to overcome any form of technology that gets thrown at us. Otherwise, this wouldn't be happening to us. And ever since then, I've been pursuing that line of inquiry. And it got to the point where my greater being showed me examples of how to go about it. So I was getting, tortured. And I remember laying there in the craft and just looking at all these beings and going, it doesn't matter what you do to me, I will always love you. So I was able to reconcile my experiences to the point of stepping in that place of unconditional love beyond the vortex of the drama of the dialectic. And love them from a place from beyond, because I began to realize that everything that we experience in the form of impositions and limitations and pain and suffering, we actually contracting those beings from a higher level to play that role for us in the cosmic matrix for the purposes of learning. Now, you know, I'm not justifying their actions completely through that process. You just, where I'm coming from is understanding the bigger picture of it all. Now, inside the drama, of course, you know, if somebody's going to come at me, I'm going to defend myself. And I'm doing my best to expose all levels of imposition and deception being imposed on our humanity and understanding this reality and what it's really all about. It's more to it than just a synthetic hologram. There is a natural order here as well. And then over the natural order is being imposed this synthetic sort of version of reality. Because Mother Earth is actually a multidimensional being, and we need to understand our relationship with her as well to understand why it is we came to be in this reality to begin with. If you just view it as just a hologram and some sort of computer simulation, then what you're doing is you're looking at it through the eyes of an artificial intelligence, which is designed to actually want to sever you from your planetary mother, which is the foundation for your existence in this reality. So it's more to it. It's more multidimensional. It's more dynamic than a lot of people realize.
A good starting point, George, to explain how we can find our way out of this matrix of control is what you suggested is an understanding of who we are. you're one of those people, and I use a similar term, the oversoul. You talk about how our oversoul plays a role in determining who we are, how we interface with this reality, and ultimately what our destiny is, what we're here to achieve. We talked earlier about how we come into this planet and we come into an incarnation. We've just come from a place of infinite potential. Then we find ourselves in a place where there's so much limitation, so many inhibitions, and so much shame-based conditioning. Now, could you tell our listeners, from your standpoint, what it means to be part of an oversoul, connected to an oversoul, and the latter's interface with Mother Earth, and how we can use that as a template to move forward?
Yeah, because it's connecting in with a part of us that is having a very deep and intimate relationship with, Mother Earth. So the way universal law, L-O-R-E, which is natural law, L-A-W is a synthetic construct, that's something different. The way natural law operates is the prime creator of a reality is the ultimate authority of that reality. So what it's like, I'll give you an example. Every time I entered a craft, or I got taken to another world, the first thing I would do, or any reality, the moment you get taken into another reality, the first thing you do is connect in with the foundational construct of that reality and who the entity is behind the intention of the creation of that reality. Because the moment you do that, then you'll understand your ecosystem and your environment that you're inside of. This is a natural instinctive process. It's like when you move to a new suburb, just to bring it to an earthly level. Well, you know, you go out for a walk around the neighborhood. You check it out, you know. You want to understand what services are available, access to shops, amenities. You kind of want to get a feel for the neighborhood, see who's the dudes, who's not the dudes, who, you know. You want to feel it out because you want to understand your environment, so you need to understand how to be in that environment. And that's natural for any being in any reality in the universe. And you can look at it, just look at nature. Every animal does that. It's just natural. So it's instinctual behavior for us to do that. So if you take that and you apply it when you have multidimensional experiences, it's the same. It just functions on slightly different levels. But the process and the principle is the same. The approach is the same. To not know who it is you're incarnate upon, and to not know who it is you're incarnate inside of, meaning the solar system. So who is the prime creator of this solar system? Who's the being who is the sun, in other words? Who is that? Who is the earth? And who is the galaxy? To not know these things, and this is your immediate cosmic environment, your immediate cosmic surroundings, is like in our reality, not knowing what street you live in, what suburb you live in, what city you live in, what country you live in. It's not knowing those things. So I need to use that as an analogy because I want you to realize how cut off from reality you are. Because people don't know where they are. And it's taken me a while to rekindle that relationship with Mother Earth. You hear people say, it's Mother Earth. Yeah, okay, we understand this planet is a living, sentient entity and it's a female being. We get that. But who is this woman, this planetary woman? Who is she? And who is the sun? And why have they chosen to manifest themselves as this particular star being and this particular planetary being? Because what's really the key ingredient here is when you look at the makeup of our reality, the construct, we are a fractal of the entire universe. All of the universe is expressed here, and we have incarnated into an incarnational construct, meaning the human vessel, which within itself is a complete fractal of the universe. Your cells are the galaxies and your atoms are the star systems. We are walking universes. And so here we are in an incarnational construct that is a replica of the universe. We get to access through our physical vessels the entirety of the universe, and no other incarnational construct has got that level of access. Now, once we understand the fractal nature of our reality, meaning, and I'll go from the outside coming in. So looking at this place from the cosmos, you're looking at a galaxy, which we call our Milky Way galaxy. Our galaxy is the only fractal galaxy in the universe. Because this is a new, it's kind of a newish type of design of construct of realities. We need to know who that is. Who is this galaxy? Because I have remembrance, because this is not about learning anything new. It's about us actually remembering. So we need to remember where we are and who we're inside of. So remembering that the galaxy is actually a fractal reality, and that the next step along was then to take the entire, meaning the entire cosmos is being expressed as this galactic reality, then to take this entire galactic reality and then express that as a star system, and then to take that star system and express that as a planet, and then to take that planet and express it as an incarnational vessel, one sentient life form, which is our human form. So this is this path of compression. So we're in a, at the end of a process of fractal compression. There's purpose, there's intention. And what we're experiencing here is something absolutely amazing and wonderful. What's not nice about it is that we have allowed, and this is where egos are going to hurt, that we have all allowed and co-agreed and co-created the ability for a distorted expression of life, meaning you can call it the forces of limitation, if you like, for these energies and these entities to enter and to test us for all we're worth. Now, you can choose to buy into the drama that that process creates, or you can choose to step out of that jungle and see the jungle for what it is, and then you can choose to step back in the jungle and walk between the worlds from an empowered place, because you know what's happening from looking from outside these realities, you understand the construct of them from beyond, and then you're also aware of what's happening inside these realities because you have to experience them from within. Because if you start living a reactionary life inside these realities because of the way you're being treated by certain energies and entities, then you, what you're going to be is like a ball in a pinball machine. You're just going to get smashed around. And it's a very unpleasant way to go about it. We have to actually get to the point where we transcend the drama, we transcend the dialectic, and get back into that place of stepping into our creator beingness. We're all creator beings, and we've all co-created these realities together. And we've got to own that. We've got to step into that space of responsibility and authority.
Well, what happens a lot of times is we make all these agreements at a soul level in previous incarnations, and we carry them along as a sort of karmic baggage. Mm. We're not aware of the nature of the game. We're not aware of the inherent limitations imposed upon us. So when we find ourselves in this situation, well, a lot of times some of us just act out in a quite irrational ways. We self-medicate. We over-project our inner angst out on others. And we do everything except what you pointed out, develop situational awareness, to use a military term, the nature of the environment we're in, our role in it, and how to transcend it. Now, there's been a lot of talk in the recent past, and I'd like your thoughts on this, George, about ascension. Now, there's this element of people out there who feel that, well, if you just come at things from a well-intentioned place in your heart, and you do right, and you act according to certain principles, somehow, some way, they're going to transcend above this matrix simulation control grid and then get to the next level of awareness and consciousness. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, and I agree that that does work and it is effective, but there's traps in that. So you've got to be, it's not just that. There's so much more to it than that, and that's part of the process that I'm talking about. Now, there are energies here that are creating such an undesirable environment here, and they're doing their best to turn everybody against their mother planet. Let me explain it this way. I need to give this a background in order to be able to answer this question about ascension, because it's one of the biggest, you know, one of the things I'm doing is exposing the New Age religion. It needs to be exposed for what it is. because I was caught up in it big time. Look back over my videos. I came out in 2004 and I was part of the Galactic Federation of Light, you know, and I was being used because I'm here to do this work in this world. So if I'm here to have a voice and to expose, then the powers that be want to use me so they can use me to propagate their agenda rather than telling the real truth of what's going on. So that happened to me for the first few years of my great works, you know, getting out there and doing what I'm doing. And I've left it all out there. It's all out there on the internet for people to see publicly the journey that I've taken working my way through all these energies. So I'm a living example of what's happening to a lot of people on this planet. So we have a new version, because this universe is made of light. So we have another version of light that's been created by this entity everybody calls God. In other cultures, it's called Allah, or it's called Jehovah, Shiva. It's got different names in different cultures. What we really need to understand is that there is the natural creator of this universe, and then there's the God of religions. And we're actually dealing with two different distinct energies. Now, what this God entity has done, who climbed to the top of a cabal of entities you could call gods, the gods, and don't get them confused with other beings who help set this reality up from the beginning, okay? This is, it can get confusing because there's a twist on a twist on a twist on a twist, and, you know, a thousand twists later is the information that we're being fed from the state system. So we have this God entity and its minions that's created its own version of light because it's claiming to be the creator of all that is and all that exists. But beyond this universal creation is the infinite nature of life where we're all infinite. There's no beginning, there's no end, we've never been created, and the infinite nature of life has never been created. It always has been, it always will be, because there's no beginning or end to its existence. And that's the same for our essence, our core essence, beyond this universe. So there is no creator being out there. There is the creator of this universe, but then you have inside this universe, because of the nature of the universal, it's a universe of contrasting expressions. By the nature of this universe, you have an entity within this universe that's claiming to be the creator of all that is and all that exists. So one entity claiming to be your maker and the maker of everything that's ever existed. So very fascinating approach that this entity has, and trying to understand why it actually feels the need to do that. Imagine the level of insecurity. To give it a background too, I've been to the Vatican and I've debated with two senior cardinals and two senior officials, which I will call Jesuit order people, about their God. So I've had it out with the Vatican, and they watch me very clearly. They've been watching me for years because they know I'm here to expose their God. And so for what it truly is. And so we're dealing with an entity that's created its own version of light in this universe. It means it's created its own version of darkness within that light structure. So putting it in a nutshell, because you know, I usually explain these out through a 10-hour presentation in a day, just to give you the cliff notes of it. God created the image of the devil because it's a reflection of its own self. So it's created a dialectic within this universe. In that dialectic, you have its own what I call the false light matrix, and it's got its own version of love, and it's got its own version of what you would call darkness, which we could term evil. Because understanding the dynamics of and the characteristics of natural light compared to the synthetic light and the characteristics of the natural order of darkness in the universe compared to the synthetic version of darkness, we're dealing with two different energies of darkness. And once we can understand this, all the pieces of the puzzle, guarantee it, will fall into place. Everything will just open up once you understand this background. The background of what's going on here in the universe. If we have a fractal process where you've got a planetary population now that you've got babies being born in this world that are having access to more power or more life force in this universe as a fractal of the universe, that's more power than any god will ever have. So you need to understand the insane jealousy that this God entity has towards humanity. It is totally outraged that that could possibly happen because it's the master of all. And so it is doing its best to everything in its power to apprehend and subjugate the human race. So can we bring it all the way back now to ascension? At the end of this epoch of time was going to be a huge birthing process for Mother Earth and her humanity, facilitated any being in the universe to be any race to come and incarnate in a human form. And this human vessel can hold that charge from any expression, whether you're a lion being, a bird being, a draconian being, a whale being. It doesn't matter where you come from. You can incarnate in a human form and the human vessel will hold that charge. That's what it's designed for, as a universal fractal embodiment. And we are all here to reintegrate everything we have done, everything we have seen, and everything we have been in this universe. So this is where we bring it all home. That's the whole intention behind this fractal process. And there's a much larger detailed story behind that, which we really don't have time to go into now. But bringing it back to ascension, so here's Mother Earth that's getting ready to birth. We are ready to be birthed into fully-fledged universal beings, where we are fully integrated in all our dimensional expressions. And this God entity is coming along and is so jealous and is doing everything in its power to stop that from happening. So what it does is it creates its own version of heavenly realms. And you need to understand this is a massive, multidimensional empire. And it has within it both dark and light-based realities constructed by its own version of light. And a big giveaway as to how those realities are created are through the templates of what people call sacred geometry. Now, I love sacred geometry. Don't be put off by my last statement. You just need to understand that. Let's look at the icosahedron, for example. I love sacred geometry because, for me, it is a beautiful way of symbolizing the construct of life. But if you're going to create life through a structured, rigid system, then you're stepping across the threshold, that line from the natural order of things and the natural creative process into synthetic construct. And let me explain. Let me give you an example before everybody goes reacting, because around here, I don't know if you got it going over there, but there's all these religious spiritual doctrines now going around to do with sacred geometry because they're creating religions out of it now. So, water, for example. Water is the physical manifestation of consciousness on our planet. Now, the icosahedron, to me, is a lovely way of the world of numbers and the world of geometry trying to symbolize and explain to me the construct of water. And that's all it is. It's a symbol. But consciousness and water, to understand the essence of water, how it flows, how beautiful it is, in the way it can move, consciousness can move through realities. It's not contained in a fixed, rigid structure, a rigid template. Here's another example. My question to you is, tell me what love is.
Oh, that's a deep one, but I would feel that at some level, and even the terminology I'm using is limiting, that the purest expression of love is infinite, and it's something that comes from deep from within. The only way I could liken it to is this experience I had when this small being basically made my heart chakra explode in kind of a nirvana kind of experience. It was giving me an object lesson and showing me that within me I had all this, and I was completely baffled after the fact. I didn't realize that within each one of us, we have this potential to love at such an energetic level. And once that lesson was taught to me, I called him my little tour guide. He showed up in dreams periodically over many years. And this is about year 10, year 11. When he showed me this and he made me feel this, I never saw him again. It was like his point was made. But in my limited way of trying to explain things, that's the only way I could describe
it. Okay. So what's the symbol of love? I'm holding a piece of paper up to the screen because James can see it, and it's what we call the shape of the heart.
Yes.
Now imagine me telling you that's love.
Oh, yes. It's so limiting. It's so limiting.
And imagine using the shape of that heart, that template, and you have to create love out of that template. So I'm using this as a really good example for people to understand what is happening here, because the God functions out of control. It has to control everything. It can't not be in control. You have to understand the essence of this entity and what it is we're dealing with. Because the other question to say, people's minds will be going crazy. Oh, George, saying, bad things about God, blah, blah, blah. Remember, let me just backpedal here before you all goes, calling me Satan and all that bullshit. Let me just get serious about this for a moment. Okay. Who told you that you should attribute the power of creation and the power of creativity in this universe to those three letters, G-O-D, in that sequence? Who told you that?
It would be this organized Saturnian religious caste system that basically taught us.
It's the priestly caste, okay? They're the ones who said to you that this is what you're to call the creative process and the intelligence of this universe, okay? And for everything. Every thing that you experience, every bit of your creative power and your creative process, every little bit of that, you must attribute it to this energy, this entity, and you're going to call it God. And if anybody understands words, if you understand the way this universe is constructed, words are patterns of vibrational frequencies in sequences, in harmonies. They're series of harmonics. And what they do is they're like keys and they open portals. Now, I'm going to take a step multidimensionally from here, and I'm going to say in 2003, I reintegrated with my soul, the aspect of me that is beyond spirit and beyond consciousness, the part of me that's one with the natural creator of this universe. I got to experience the universe entirely, and I was watching the energies pouring from the earth to this God entity because of the adulation, because of the adoration, and because of the worship. And the most toxic ingredient in all of that is devotion. So here we've got a priestly caste that has convinced people, they have planted a narrative into the human psyche, into our societies, into our cultures, and has said, this is what you're going to perceive to be the creative force from now on. And what people are doing are worshipping the deity of the priests, and they're participating in spiritual practices that now, for the people that are becoming awake and aware, and they're getting into the chakras and the kundalini and the pineal gland and all that stuff, they are all spiritual practices and doctrines of the ruling elite and the priestly caste. And they are now disseminating that freely through our societies, because this is about harvest. This is harvest time. And if you understand that the chakra system is actually Atlantean technology and it's designed to compartmentalize you, that the pineal gland is not the seat of the soul, because that is what the priests of Egypt used to tell people, and a select few it was, that the pineal gland, it's not my third eye. My third eye is my heart, soul, essence. I get my knowledge and wisdom by connecting to life through my heart and my soul, emerging with life and becoming one with it. That's how I access knowledge. People are giving me a hard time because I'm exposing this. And it's shattering people's belief systems. They don't like it because their belief system's being challenged. Well, if you want to continue to worship the deity of the priestly caste and you want to continue to engage in the spiritual doctrines and practices of the priestly caste, which then calibrate you to the realities that their deity has created, by all means do that. That's your journey. I'm not here to interfere with that. But at least I've been able to bring it to your attention, and my job's done. And you really got to realize what it is you're dealing with. And you'd be surprised how many people, once you transcend the chakra system, how peaceful you become, how grounded you become. When you stop trying to access knowledge through the pineal gland and you start realigning your brain with your heart soul essence, so the knowledge flows from your heart into your mind. That's a whole different experience of life, because what we're dealing with is technology that's so sophisticated. The pineal gland sits between the amygdala and the pituitary gland and is designed to take control of the endocrine system. And it's designed to interfere with our perception of reality. The pineal gland is about mind enlightenment. It's not about the enlightenment of your beingness. My soul does not reside in my head, right? If people want to believe that their seat of their soul is in their head, go right. You know, that's your thing, right? But it isn't for me. I'm more interested in achieving enlightenment through my heart and my soul, rather than just in through the intellect, through the mind energy.
That's a problem that a lot of people have. They're too much in their headspace, and this reality, this false matrix construct, promotes that through the mindless entertainment industry, the media, and the indoctrination system of the schools. And also, it's so important that we watch our terminology. I just fell into it a moment ago. We fall into old patterns of using certain terminology. What I should have said was I felt this infinite explosion of love from my heart center, my physical electromagnetic dynamo of a heart center which connects me to source. And I've also, like yourself, George, I intuitively knew at some level, without even really understanding what chakras were, but when I saw diagrams of it, it just struck me that it's got to be some kind of a control system, because a fully realized spiritual energetic being should not be limited to these vortices or wheels up and down their chakra system. And even, you know, beyond the physical body, there are chakras. And so I looked at it as like a limiting kind of construct. An interesting point you made about the pineal gland, and you see how these doctrines and concepts are misunderstood over time. If you look back in ancient times, when warriors would sever the head of a brave foe, and they believe by doing so, they're taking the soul of this brave foe, because they believe that the soul was contained in the head, the godhead. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was corruptions of that where people were taking scalps and whatnot. So that's an excellent point you make. And we have to watch our lingo, our terminology, because in and of themselves, because of the vibratory nature of them, they're very self-limiting.
I just pose this to everybody who's listening, you know, because once again, I'm not saying we're not inside an intelligent universe. I'm not saying there's not a creator of this universe. You know, I am one with that being. But this other thing, this other entity that everyone calls God, and how many people are saying, oh, my God, when something happens in their life? The moment you say that, it's ka-ching. You've just made another energetic deposit towards that entity. You just attributed the power of your creative process and your co-creative process with those around you, with Mother Earth, with the sun, with the galaxy, and the natural creator of this universe. You attributed all that co-creative process to that entity, the deity of the priests. This is the biggest deception on humanity right now. And we need to wake up from this trance, because once you realize this construct, this deception, the framework of what's actually going on here, then you will see, because the love you experience in your heart chakra is so shallow compared to the love you experience from your heart soul essence, which is deep down inside of you, and it's a multidimensional experience. The heart chakra is part of the false light matrix. And the reason the heart chakra and the pineal gland and the kundalini going up and all that, the reason all that feels so good is because we have been so diminished for so long. And I call that false light. I call it cosmic candy. And everyone's doing their meditations, and they're all blissing out.
Yeah,
they're all getting high because they're consuming light energies, particular frequencies of energies, And they're basically just drug-taking on a multidimensional level.
Yeah.
They're getting high. They're ungrounded. They're worshipping ascended masters and angels, which are all part of the false light matrix. They're all part of the God matrix. And the imposition here on this planet, the last few thousand years, especially the last 6,000 years, has been all about this God entity with its multidimensional empire that has moved in. I remember the war in our solar system, and we tried to defend ourselves on that extraterrestrial level against, and multidimensional level, against this empire muscling in on our solar system. And we lost that planet between Mars and Jupiter. You know, wasn't it amazing that, you know, I'm there talking about, I was one of the last on the planet. We got most of the people off, and I was looking at the planetoid away from the planet that was about to beam the planet with this weapon that was going to destroy our planet. And I have a friend in my life now who also remembers standing next to me. So you've got two different people remembering this scenario. And then at the conference, we met two people, which you know of too. I won't name them, just for respect. And when I told them that story, they completely freaked out because they remember being on the craft, one of the last getting off the planet, looking back and watching the planetoid destroy the planet. Now, if that's not validation for all the memories of all these separate people are having of the same incident, and we're all describing the same thing from different places of experience, but it's the same set of circumstances. That's amazing. And what I want to say about that is that what the real truth about the events that have played out in our solar system and who we are, what Earth is actually about, and what's going on here has been dead and buried for so long. And it's buried underneath twists and manipulation after manipulation after manipulation. And it's all a bunch of twisted truths. It's all this ugly distortion. And the only true way to get back to the real knowledge is your relationship with Mother Earth, your relationship with the sun, your relationship with the galaxy, and your relationship with the natural creator of this universe. Not places like the Akashic Records. The Akashic Records is a multidimensional state-run library. It's like going down your street to your library and thinking you're going to get all the answers to life there. Now, being a multidimensional library, it's going to have a lot more knowledge, right? And it's going to be really fascinating and interesting, but it isn't the true knowledge because there are beings that monitor what goes in and out of that place. The true knowledge of the Earth is in the heart of the Earth. And the way you access that is through your heart and your soul and your relationship with Mother Earth yourself. Each one of us has our own unique relationship with her. You go back into that relationship and you draw on the knowledge of your existence, your purpose, and the bigger knowledge of what this world is about through that relationship. Do not take my word for it. Go experience it for yourself.
Too many people in the New Age movement, they become at times downright hostile when anyone mentions anything which, from their limited perspective, smacks of negativity. Oh, don't bring that stuff up around me. I don't want that in my energy field. And here we are, we're talking about galactic multidimensional empires muscling in to our solar system and some of us, you know, making a last stand, if you will. And then, well, actually, people can see the bitter fruits of that experience with what we call the asteroid belt around us. That's proof that that happened. But the New Age Ascension movement, to me, always seemed, George, to be the other side of the coin to religiosity. It was just the same intolerance, the same dogmas, different terms, different cliches. Instead of an all-powerful monotheistic God, they have these hierarchies of angels, of spirit guides and whatnot, but the core elements of dogma, of intolerance, they're still there.
They're still there. And because I came out with all this stuff several years ago, you can imagine I've worn quite a brunt of a wave of craziness from these people. It really exposes their religious fanaticism. And okay, there's layers to this, because what Ascension is doing is you've got people who have created industries out of this. Yeah. You've got all these healers that are using the light of an angel, the light of a descended master, or they're using ET groups to get people beamed up into craft, or to take their astral bodies up there and to be worked on and all that. Now, I'm not saying that some healing doesn't take place, because there's got to be a payoff. There's got to be a trade-off. But there's so many deceiving entities out there that are posing as these light beings, and they're connected to this false light matrix. And it's all about recruitment. Their main agenda is actually to recruit as many people as they possibly can to their overlord, so they can be assimilated into their reality. I'll give you another example of that, is the thing about the extraterrestrials that we're interacting with on the planet. I've got, you know, something quite big to share regarding our military industrial complex behind the scenes, because you know, I've mixed in those circles a bit too, because of my journey and their interest in me. So what we've got is what's known as the Federation of Free Worlds. And that is no different to what we have on our planet called the United Nations. It's just a galactic version of that. Now, does the United Nations have the best interest of humanity at heart? Or is it really a mouthpiece for the global elite? Have a think about that. Even though there's good people in there trying to do good things. So when I was in Sweden, I had a meeting with a gentleman who is here on the planet. He's walked into a body, and he goes three times a week, he goes into a craft, and they're like a hybrid grey sort of species. He comes out of the body, they scan his body because they've got his body recording everything. And I went, that's good. That means they're observing us right now. That's nice. It meant I had a connection to them, because I want them to hear this. And I want you to take this back to your overlords, right? And then he goes with his consciousness back to his home planet, and he reports and, you know, tells them stuff. And then, you know, and he's here trying to conduct things, affairs, you know, behind the scenes here with governments and what have you. And I said to him, so in your meetings in the Federation of Free Worlds, because he said to me, we're having these meetings and we've got this awesome timeline where there's going to be disclosure, we're going to implement technologies, we're going to help heal the earth, heal all your diseases and all that sort of stuff. And it all sounds lovely, doesn't it? It's what we want, right? Because we've been suffering for so long. So I said to him, at those meetings in your deliberations in the Federation of Free Worlds, was Mother Earth present and attending those meetings? Was the sun present and attending your meetings? Were they participating in your meetings? And he kind of, his eyes popped open, his jaw fell down, he sat back in his chair and he went, oh, well, I'd like to think so. I said, look, you know, if you were at those meetings, which you tell me you are, and all those meetings were centered around what's going to happen in our solar system and the planet, then you would know that they were there, because their energy is incredible. Anybody who meets them, in whatever form they want to express themselves, these are incredible beings, and you would never forget your experience with them. So no, they weren't there, were they? Because I know they weren't there. Right? I said, do you understand now that your Federation of Free Worlds, even though it's a multidimensional empire, I want you to know how shallow you guys actually are, how limited of an experience of the perception of reality you actually have. Because you're not including them. They're not there saying, oh, I've manifested myself as this planet, and this is what we're doing, and this is the intention behind it. No, I said, your empire is imposing itself here. Even though you might have good intentions and you want to help, I said, you've left a big piece of the puzzle out. I said, you're implementing your intentions from your cultural philosophies, from your spiritual doctrine within your societal structures, within your culture. You don't know what's best for the human race and Mother Earth, because you don't understand the relationship. You need to talk to the Earth and talk to the collective group soul essence of humanity and understand the dynamic between those two entities. Right? then you can start coming here and saying what you're going to do. But you're not a part of that conversation at all. You're just coming in from the outside thinking you're doing good. And the problem we have here is a lot of ET groups are coming here and they're doing this. So we need to understand what we're dealing with, James, on that level.
We bring it back down to the earthly plane, the surface level, and we have these do-gooder United Nations relief specialists going to the villages with their immunizations and inoculations and their grand plans for pulling these people up and bringing them a level of civilization they have not experienced before. And it's always this outside perspective that presumes to know how we should plug in, how we should connect with Mother Earth, with the sun. And it's interesting also the point you made about the false light and the false dark too, because I've spoken to people who had wonderful near-death experiences, but they didn't go to the light. They wound up in a very dark place, but they felt at one with the place. They felt a oneness. They felt like they were almost just in like a cushion of air, and they were just like laying on bubbles, so to speak. I mean, mere words can't describe the feeling they had of safety, of peace, of being at one with themselves and their surroundings, and they didn't want to go back. And then in the case of my one friend, she wound up coming back, and she's doing a lot of great work in her current incarnation. But I've spoken to a few people that have had that experience, and this concept that you talked about earlier, how this angry blood god, Yahweh, as some of my friends like to refer to it, manifesting through Saturn, manifesting through the fake sun, how they create these opposames, as David Icke would call them, where, okay, we're the light, and then there's the fake light bringer, Lucifer. So they're creating this image in people's minds where this is the false god, and it's the false god that's pointing out that this is a false god, which is a construct of their own making. It's kind of a step above the pot calling the kettle black. It's really just creating these dogmas and creating these belief systems within people. And again, going back to the New Age analogy, we see so much of the same intolerance. And I imagine, George, that when you were talking about this and still talk about this, how people of that New Age mentality that are constantly giving their power away to ascended masters and their friendly ETs, how they must have just lashed out at you and really didn't know how to deal with you because you come from such a heart-centered space. I'm something of an empath myself, and, you know, I mean, I felt your heart-centeredness so much that I had to pick up a piece of hematite to kind of ground myself, George, and I'm sure you've heard this before, too. You know, in the time we got left in this first hour, we're going over a little bit because it's important. For those people out there that are still caught up in a New Age deception, coming from a heart-centered perspective, what do you want to say to them? To say, look, I'm throwing you out a lifeline. Here's a chance for you to pull you up by your bootstraps. So
yeah.
How can they go deep within and really find the truth?
Okay, so as long as you continue to think that you have to get just a higher vibration, you know, it's the whole hierarchical notion. Yeah. And absolutely. Sometimes I will use a hierarchical model because our minds are used to it and it helps people to understand, you know, that it's like I laid out the structure of the universe in almost a pyramidal type triangulated fashion, because it's the way our human minds currently can comprehend. But that's no different to a concentric model. You know, the tip of the pyramid is the center of a concentric model. You know, and the bottom of the pyramid are the outer circles. Yeah? So there's different ways of explaining the same thing. So it's not just a higher vibration or a lower vibration. What we're dealing with is a cosmopolitical agenda. This is politics on a cosmic level. So this God entity has come here and has been pumping into our psyche now for millennia, thousands and thousands of years, that it's the one, right? And we are all subservient to that entity, and it's your maker. So that means it's going to own also all of your creations if you give yourself over to that entity, because it wants all your galaxies that you're the creator of out there, all the planetary systems that you're the creator of out there, all the star systems, all your incarnational constructs, all the realities, everything you have seen and you have done and you have been. That was the danger of fractal reality, is if the forces of limitation got a hold of it, what would they do with it? And we're seeing this at play now. So it's called wagging the dog. By it coming here, it knows by plugging into this reality, it can take control of the universe. That's what it thinks it can do. It can't, because we're never going to let that happen. But it's going to look like it's doing it. It's going to get close. We'll let it get close, but it's never going to do it. It's never going to achieve it. And the real creator of this universe will just ever let that happen. So that just helps people just to settle down a little bit. But we've got this imposition, and we need to respect this entity for what it's capable of too. And with this hierarchical thinking, it's God at the top, and then you've got all these structures. You've got angels and, you know, the throne of God and seraphims, and it's always hierarchy. And it's imposed into your psyche this thinking of you must achieve a high vibration, because apparently this reality is at the bottom of the universe. We're the lowest of the lows here, and that's why it's so dense. They don't tell you that it's actually got to do with fractal compression, and we're actually in the womb space of the universe because we're birthing something most incredible here. They won't tell you that part, no. No, what they're going to tell you is that you're pathetic, lonely humans. You squabble and fight amongst yourselves, yeah, and you need saving. Oh, here, let me save you. That's their approach, because you're pathetic and you can't do it for yourself. They won't tell you that the negative arm of that empire is what's imposing all this debaucherous, masochistic, sadistic behavior here on the planet, all the mind control, all these horrible, because it's problem, reaction, solution. What it needs to do is it needs to create such a terrible environment here that when that God entity comes with all its multidimensional beings, yeah, of its version of light and love, then we're all going to take to it like a child in a candy store. That's the game plan. And we need to be aware of it.
Absolutely. And I think about the disclosure movement. I think about elements of, you know, the exopolitics movement tied in with the New Age. And I see that kind of scenario may be getting set up. Well, this has been a fascinating first hour, George, and we're just getting started. Could you let our listeners know how they can find you and what your website is?
Sure. My website, I've got two websites. My initial website is iaminfinite.love, and that is the URL, .love. There's no .com, there's no .com.au, just .love. And the other website is a community-based website, membership model, which has got heaps of stuff in there, like 38 podcasts and all sorts of wonderful things, Q&As, you name it. And that is weareinfinite.love. And so for the price of less than a cup of coffee a week, you get access to the most life-changing and transformational knowledge and wisdom and experiences. It's turning into a really beautiful community.
Can you tell the listeners what the titles of your books are and where they can find them?
I've got one book I've written, I authored, and you'll have to excuse the 2012 stuff in there. I was going through that phase, and there's good reason for it. I've explained a lot of that in the past. I acted as a bit of a double agent through that process, and for very good reason. And that book is Our Journey, Our Universal Journey. Sorry, that was my old website, Our Journey Home. So Our Universal Journey is the name of the book, and that could be purchased at iaminfinite.love. And it's a really good book because I go into great detail about the universe and the big picture behind it. And you can get it in ebook form and audiobook. The audiobook is, I've narrated the book, and it goes for around 10 hours. It's fantastic. A lot of people really enjoy the audiobook. So, and I go into deep detail about the moon. The moon is, there's a big story about behind the moon.
Yes, I was reading that chapter, and it's fascinating, and it ties in with Saturn, and people should really plug into that. Well, we've reached the end of the first hour. You've been listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show with my very special guest, George Kavassilis. If you like what we do here at the Cosmic Switchboard, please go to the website, thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up, and become a member, and we will see you at the top of the next hour.